Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back this glorious fall Friday. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for streaming. Thanks for downloading. I appreciate it. So please tell your friends, coworkers, enemies, somebody on Ancestry.com. I don't know why I said that. It's a commercial on now. Yeah, go on. This is what you do. Go on Ancestry.com. Find family members, preferably those in other countries, and just tell them about my podcast. I don't give a shit if they don't speak English. Make them learn it, and then make them watch all the movies, all the TV shows. Make them learn about American history, and so they can catch up on all the references and pop culture stuff that I'm talking about. So it's not that big of a stretch, all right? To talk to a family member you've never met in a country you've never been to, and you just send them a link to my podcast and say, hey, learn everything about America and go back and listen to 196 episodes of his 20-minute podcast that you probably will hate. But anyway, welcome back, everybody. And I never really have guests, but my wife is on from time to time, and she's back. Hi, Bot.
Hi. Just know that I'm being held hostage.
That's fine. I've been held hostage. You can last 20 minutes. I've been held hostage for 14 years by you.
I can last 20 minutes?
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. I felt a joke coming.
I didn't say anything.
I know.
I didn't say anything.
I know it's fine.
15 years a slave. There you go.
Oh yeah, you can make a 20-minute sex joke. That's fine. Even if it's 2 minutes, you're not going anywhere. Where you going? Where you going? That's fine. Make all the jokes you want. That's fantastic. Because when you make jokes like that, all you do is make me more attractive to other women. So
you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you do. So, make fun of me sexually. Because I got droves of women that listen to my podcast. But, all right, so we'll start off with the milestone for this week. And, man, for those who don't know, I have a now 7-year-old son. His name is Miles. And I like to talk about different things that are going on in his life, no matter how big or small. Some things are pretty epic, some are pretty small. And, this week, he's back on the languages. He's creating his own language. He calls it Santa-ish. I don't know where he... Actually, I kind of know where
Santish.
He got... Santish. A couple of days ago, we were talking about authors and, you know, languages and creating worlds and fiction. And I told him about Tolkien and about how he created his own languages. And he has Elvish. And you can learn to speak Elvish. You can write it. I showed him some pictures of what it looks like written. Actually went on YouTube and found a super nerd speaking it. And of course, my super nerd was really, really into it. And so that's what he's working on now. He's really into making his own language. And we'll see how long he keeps this going. So, moving on to our first topic. So, a couple of days ago, I was watching the news, CNN. I know, I'm a piece of shit, libtard, this fake news. I get it, right? I get it. Everybody else's news is lying to them except yours. I get it. You know, that's how it works. You only you get the truth. How you feel politically is right. Everybody else is wrong. I get it. But anyway, I'm watching CNN. Lefty news source, all about diversity, all about different voices, and they want to help people of color, they're sick of white people, and lo and behold, on this panel, nothing but white women. And I posted that on Instagram, and I'm like, wow, look at all this diversity, white women, we've done it. And I had a friend of mine, like, she said to me, she goes, oh, do you think they all share the same head? And I'm like, do you think all men share the same head? I mean, they would be pissed. Well, they've been pissed for years when they turn on the news and it's four white guys or just four guy men talking about the news. And they want to go, where's the women? And here we have the lefties all about diversity not being diverse. And I just think it's bullshit. I mean, I personally feel when people say diversity, they really just mean me. So when you hear all these feminist white women talk about we need diversity, they just want themselves in the places of power. They want all these news anchors. They want to be all the contributors. And it's just like if white supremacy is so bad and white people can't be trusted, why do these white feminists think that just switching everything from being all white male to all women, white women, is going to make things different? I just, what's up with that shit? Do you think I'm wrong when they talk about diversity, you know? Do people just mean me?
I think that if you see a panel like that, that's basically just virtue signaling. You can't talk about diversity and not have a diverse panel. Diversity doesn't just mean
racial
men and women. You know, it means across racial lines, across different social economic lines. Like, that's not diversity. So when I see anything like that that's touted as diversity, it's just, that's virtue signaling. It's just saying, we got some people together to talk about other people.
Yeah.
It's not, if you're not really considering, it's like when people go into a community or a demographic that they're trying to help, but they don't even include any of those people in the planning process of what they're going to do. They're basically saying, see, we're here to save you. This is what you need. Instead of asking them what they need,
you tell them what they need.
You tell them what you they need, or you just give them what you think they need, and it might not be anything that they were even considering, and it's not helpful at all. So, yeah, that's not diversity at all.
Do you feel like when people say diversity, they really just mean, well, I don't see someone that looks like me up there?
No, not always. And some people, I'm sure, they do, because it's just a glaring reality that they're not included. But for me, when I say diversity, I don't want to be any, contrary to what I'm sure you probably believe, but I don't need to be anywhere where it's all black people. Right. I don't grow from that environment. I don't want to be anywhere where it's all white people. I can't grow in that environment. I really do appreciate diversity. I want some Hispanics. I want some, you know, I want Asians. I want black. I want white. I want different religious backgrounds. Like, that's where you grow. You don't know what you're missing out on if you're stuck in this one little pocket of, oh, okay. I mean, I can only imagine what Asian people feel like, or because when you hear on the news, all you hear about is black and white. It's like, but hey, we're here.
Right.
Hispanics, we're here. We exist. Like, that's all you really hear about. So when I think of diversity, no, I feel like I want as wide a variety as possible, because that's how you learn.
Right. It's true. I feel like a lot of it is it's phony. It's phony. They mean me. Like, take the comedy world, for instance. You know, they want more women on show. We need more female representation. We need one more women on these shows. And last year, Laughing Skull, there were no black women selected. And they had hundreds of submissions. And at first you go, well, maybe none submitted. That's because that was my first, you know, the first question I asked myself. Like, all right, well, maybe they're not racist. Maybe we need to know how many people applied. Maybe no black women applied to this festival. But over time, as things came out, you saw that many. And there is also a possibility that none of them were good. That's also a possibility. But then they kept pulling back the layers and they rescored these women's videos. And they go, oh, yeah, X amount of women of these women should have, you know, basically qualified and gotten to this festival. And I say all that to say, there were plenty of white women on the poster, and you didn't hear anything from them. over the last couple of years is we need more women. We need more women. And this was white women basically said we need more white women. So when that list came out and they saw plenty of white women on there, they go, we did it. It's diversity. And they're not even thinking about black women at all. Not at all. To me, that just showed me how selfish they really were when it came to this whole thing. It's not about women. It was about white women. It was about white liberal women. And it took a black woman to go, hey, there's no black...
Well, but I think that's the thing. Like, it's... I don't know that white women necessarily are like, I just want... I don't care about anybody else. This is what I want. It's just that's your a natural inclination because that's who you are. If you haven't had to live your entire life being the only one, then your mind is just... It's just not set up like that. Like, if you're used to being somewhere and being the only black person, being the only little chocolate chip in the situation, you're used to that, then it's like, okay, you know how that feels. That's why I can say, I wonder how Asian people feel, because I know how that feels. I know how that feels. I know that that sucks. You know, and right. I know that people think, well, you should be happy with what you get, or you should take it or leave it, or you should, you know, and then you get to the point where you're like, you know what, I'm gonna start my own shit.
Yeah,
because
the people, can I just cut in real quick? The people who say get over it, you need to do, would never do that. They would never do that themselves. They're quick to tell other people, like, it doesn't matter. It's why are you looking at race? Because I had a situation with an old coworker where we were looking for a school for Miles, when we looked at that little Christian school.
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, well, you know, it really wasn't diverse, and I didn't really, it was a weird vibe in there. And I was like, I didn't really want him being like the only black kid in the school. And he goes, oh man, why you gotta look at it like that, man? Does it really matter? I'm like, would you send your white kid to an all black school? He was just like, probably not. I was like, why? He's like, well, I just wouldn't want them to feel different, and they would stand out and get picked on. I'm like, so what's the difference, man? It's like, you just get offended when I say all white. You're taking offense to that. And you shouldn't, because you yourself wouldn't send your kid to an all black school. And he's like, you know what? You're right, man. He's like, I shouldn't have done that. But the thing with them is they assume that the black kid in the all-white school, that's a plus for them. It's white kids. They're going to do well. But for some reason, if you took those same black kids and you put them in the same demographic in your mind, you know, socioeconomically as those white kids, you still really wouldn't be comfortable with sending your kid, your white kid, to an all-black school.
Well, and it's not like, and I'm just playing devil's advocate, just like I was saying with the white women. Like, I don't think that it's necessarily, oh, this is a bad one. There's just implicit bias in general. Like, there's just going to be implicit bias. But I never thought that I would have to have conversations with people to say, I don't want my son to be the only black kid in his class or in his school or whatever. And for people to look at you a certain way when you say things like that. But then when you put it in perspective, like, listen, Tom, if your kid was the only black kid, the only white kid in a black school, how would you feel about that? If you're being transparent, if you're being honest, doesn't have to be even about racism. I mean, just you want to see yourself
right
in the environment that you're in. You don't know your place if you don't see yourself in the environment that you're in. You can't be comfortable every day. You can't be comfortable eating breakfast. You don't know. Is this how, and then you have to question your whiteness or your blackness. Like, is this what other black kids are doing? Is this what they're eating? Is this what they're talking about? Is this how they're dancing? Is this what they're wearing? Are these the games they're playing? Are these the classes that they're in? That's a lot to put on a freaking kindergartner.
Right.
You know, and you're setting them up for the future. They're going to not know their place from the jump. Right. They're like, I'm an adult and I've been in a lot of white spaces and been the only black person in that space, and I'm just barely, I'd say in the last 5 or 10 years, getting to a place where I'm like, you know what? They don't get this, you know, Afro, this faux hawk today. They gonna get this. They'll get my skills and whatnot too. But this is who I am. They gonna like it or love it. That's it. But I'm grown. I'm 40 years old. He's 7. You know, yeah. How can he navigate? How can he know how to navigate that when he doesn't see other kids that look like him and how they're navigating? They can't talk about it. Like, it's just, okay, I guess this is what I'm doing. I'm going to be this little black kid in this white school.
Yeah, and it bothers me that people are like, he should be fine with that. But yeah, but like you said, they would not do that with their own kids.
I don't necessarily think that that's racist. I just think that it's about your own self-esteem and realizing who you are. How can you can't do that if you don't see
right. No, it's,
yourself.
We've all been kids. It's being a kid is already tough enough. You want to fit in. You're already worried about being different and all that kind of stuff. And then yeah, when you're in an environment where you don't even have people that look like you, can be it can be challenging.
Or if the people that do look like you are working in the kitchen, or they're the janitor, they're not the administrators, they're not the teachers. What are you saying to is society saying to you when that's what you see?
That is true too.
That's a huge issue, and I get that that's not something that some of our white counterparts or peers have to even think about, but that's something I think about every single day when I send my son to school.
Right. Well, I think the only two black males at that school are both the janitors. And it's
the women that work there are in the kitchen.
Yeah, and it's no knock on them. You know,
no, those are not
definitely
at all.
Yeah, those are definitely honorable jobs. They're working with children. They work the jobs that they work. But I get what you're saying. And my mom and my aunts, they're the same way. You know, now that they're older, they go to the hospital more. And it bothers them when they go... Yeah, you do see black people at the hospital working there, but it's always either janitorial staff or someone that's just doing dietary. They would like to see more black people in higher positions. They want to see doctors, surgeons, nurses. You know, they really take a lot of pride in that. And again, nothing wrong with any of those jobs, but yeah, when you have a kid at a school like that, and those are the only positions you see people that look like you in, it's what would you call it?
Well,
it's not, I don't think it's anything. It's just,
no, but it's what we're looking for is representation.
Right.
And that's not the only way to represent our culture and the people. It's been said that black women are the most right now, the largest group of people who are highly educated, like getting graduate level degrees and whatnot, and also becoming entrepreneurs and whatnot. But our kids are going to school and that's not what's represented around. That's not what they see.
Right.
So, you know, that it's a mixed messages for them. It's mixed signals for them. You're telling me the only people who are intelligent, nurturing, smart, go-getters they don't look like me. They don't look like my mom. They don't look like my dad. They don't look like me. They're these other people. So what does that mean about me? What am I? You asked Miles what he wanted to be when he grew up, like in kindergarten. He would say a bus driver. Why? He probably saw a black bus driver. Like, really? Is he going to say he wants to be a teacher? Probably not, because he has not seen a black teacher, right?
Well, that's true.
So representation, that's what that is. Those are very, if you work and you have to work your ass off in those jobs, so I'm not talking about that at all. I'm saying give them an opportunity to see a broad spectrum of things that they can do and be realistic about it with them. But they don't get that. Probably the parents who... I've done the career day every year since he started school, and I'm the only black person there. Like, what in the world? How are these kids even to think that they can do anything?
Right.
I mean, and this is just our little school in the boondocks of Central Virginia, but
no, I get it. I see what you're saying. And that a lot of people don't understand that. It's just like, you need that representation to let you know, like, hey, I can do this. I can do this. And I tried to tell people before. I mean, that's why, like, guys like Neil deGrasse Tyson, even people you might not agree with as a you know, black person. You look at Ben Carson. People, oh, he's Republican. We don't. You can't do that shit. Larry Elder. People like that. Those right wing black people. You can't shut them out because you don't like how they think politically. It's just like, no, there's probably some young black kid who has conservative views that would love to see Larry Elder in action, or Mia Love, or Dr. Carter. They, you know, that resonates more.
Political science.
Yeah, like, that resonates more with them. We can't shut those people out at all, because those are all successful black people. And it's just like, yeah, they're not getting it how you think they should, or you don't agree with them politically, but they're still smart, successful black people who you would love to have your child either emulate or be as successful as, or marry one day. Because they're doing well, and they seem on the surface like good people. And again, we're not trying to disparage any person for the job that they have at all. Those are admirable jobs, honest jobs, hardworking people. But yeah, we do like to see our folks in higher positions of authority and power and responsibility. And we just it all begins with education. We just have to start educating our kids earlier on these type of things, and hopefully over time it changes their mindset and it inspires them to want more out of life.
I am excited because the position that I just took is in a school, and I know that I will be one of very few black staff there, and I will, you know, be in a position of helping families and their children, and the kids will be able to see right. Somebody who looks like them at the school showing up and whatnot. But I think that part of it is, yeah, we have to show up. Like, we, even if you're not working at the school, career day, be there. Be there so those kids know that, okay, I'm not here. You don't see me at your school, but this is what a job that you could potentially do. This could be a potential career for you. But we have to be present. Come to the little janky dance or the book fair, show up, be the parent there, so these kids, when they see Chris or they see me there, they're like, Miles, is that your mom? Miles, is that your dad? Like, because they know that he's important enough to us,
right,
for us to show up, and that black families do show up for their kids. Like, if you can, you have to try to make that happen.
Yeah, you do. Black families exist. We're out here. We're not as rare as you think. But this one went a little long. There's a show. That's a show. I'm glad I held her hostage. She talked most of the show.
Sorry.
Please. At Chris Allen Comedy. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I'll be in New York City Sunday through Wednesday. I'm excited. Fat Black Pussycat Sunday night 7. The Stand 8:30 in Brooklyn at the Fancy Show. Don't know the name of the venue. I'm excited. Hopefully I can pick up some more gigs. I can't wait. I'll see y'all around. Peace. Thank you. I'm almost done. We out.